create a large amount of frequency with minimal movement. And then I'm going to kind of drop that out, and I'll do something a little bit sparser to get a little bit of a, what can you do with a guitar and a lot of pedals? What kind of sounds can you create? And it might distort the first one. I try to keep it quiet enough that, you know, you can hear the frequency, but I'm going to, if it clips, if you hear that distortion, I'm going to, you know, dig in. I'm going to be like, yep, that was intentional, because sometimes it works. So I'm going
to
go with that.
Right. All right. That sounds exciting to hear. So here, everyone, we have Kilometer Club here on the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope on CFRU 93.3 FM. Thank you. Ooh, nice. That was Kilometer Club here on the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope. What was that last little, I think it's like bit of reverse reverb or something? It's like a little...
So that was my Chase Bliss Habit. So Habit is this weird pedal that I still don't have not fully harnessed, but I feel like everything I do with it, no matter what I do, no matter what settings I make, it makes something weird and awesome. And so what it does is it records up to the past 3 minutes of what you've played, and it mangles it. You know, or it plays it straight, or it plays it with delay or whatever. But I kind of upped all the knobs to get some mangling. And so every element of that kind of granular warping were notes that I had previously played that it was just kind of throwing all over. And it, when I turned it on to kind of add it in, I was like, okay, now this adds that extra textural element that I'm not playing directly with my guitar, but it kind of does it for me, which works really nicely.
Yeah, that's it was a very nice like outro that it provided.
And, you know, and sometimes it just makes terrible noise and you're like, no, turn it off quickly. So that, I, you know, so you lean into it. It's like, that's, you know, that's the other improviser. And I'm like, I like what you're doing. Let's end with you.
All right. Nice. I came up with the song title, Pedestals.
Cool. Could we do like part one and part two? And then it's like, you know, the droney one and then the bit more, you know, right? Why not?
All right. Let's see. Where did, the name Kilometer Club come from, the name?
So it was a name, and if you Google me, you get a lot of my music. And then you at a lot of elementary schools, it used to be the running club, the long distance club. It would be like, I have this memory, it might be a warped memory, it may not be true, that you'd run around the gym and after a certain amount of times you'd hit a kilometer and they'd give you a popsicle stick and you'd see how many you could get. I wasn't a runner, so I don't know if that's actually true, because I think in my life, after working at it for a month, I ran 3 kilometers straight without like keeling over, and that was the most ever. And now if I tried, it would be like 300 meters. So it wasn't me as a child, but it, you know, as a teacher, I was like, I wanted that element of something kind of school like and I first used it almost like as a joke about 15 years ago, as like a name for like, I'm gonna play a synthesizer, so I'm gonna be Kilometer Club. And then in 2020, when I kind of got back into or started making the music that I've kind of formed into what I've done, I was like, yep, I have a name already. It's perfect.
Awesome. And so, yeah, you said you started in 2020. What got you into that mindset to make this music that time?
You know, it was a pandemic and we were all going a little stir crazy. Maybe you remember that.
Yeah.
Right. And I think, you know, we had 3 young kids at home, and my kids are 11, 8, and 6 now. So, you know, take away 4 years, they were little. And we didn't have a lot of space or opportunity. And I really craved that creativity. And writing a traditional song just wasn't happening. You know, I'd pick up a guitar with acoustic guitar and try to write, and it wasn't happening. So what ended up happening was, I had, years ago, I had this kind of thought about, like, what if I, like, made a song for every stop on the subway system in Toronto, the TTC? And as it stood, you know, long story short, I switched digital distributors of my own personal music to DistroKid, and I had to do something where they had a second artist slot available. I'm like, well, if I have a second artist slot, I guess that's the birth of Kilometer Club. And so it got me started on my first idea, which was to do my first 10-song album was songs timed and themed to the line one of the TTC, the Toronto Transit System. And, you know, it was like, oh, it's 2.5 minutes between this and this, and I tried to imagine what it's like and made these kind of repetitive, light ambient, light electronica tracks in Logic using stock plugins, using, you know, a tiny Akai MIDI keyboard, not really knowing how to create ambient music, not really knowing how to create electronic music. And I had some fun with it, put it up on some streaming services, and then, you know, one person listened to it. It was like me, probably. And then I wrote to BlogTO, and I was like, you know what, this is exactly what BlogTO wants. And sure enough, they wrote back. They're like, we love this, can we do a feature on you? So they did. And all of a sudden, you know, that was about 300 or 400 plays in one day, but like going from 1 to 400, oh my God, I'm a celebrity. And then, and I wasn't, but I kept at it, and I kept making, I made it through all 76 TTC stops, and started making other music and figuring out what I wanted to do. And early on, Kilometer Club was very much experimental electronica. even when I was mostly listening to acoustic music, there's an artist named Max Tundra, and he is a British guy from late 90s into early 2000s, making really like kind of predating hyperpop, but a lot of those same ideas. Really zany, weird, fast, but still poppy and catchy, even though it was unpredictable. And so I tried to make music like that. It did not sound nearly as good, inventive, or interesting, but I had some fun with it. I used synthesized voices. I made some weird noises. And then, I mean, you know, again, 14 people listened to that. And then I was like, I love ambient music. I should try ambient music. And I was like, and then figured some things out there.
Yeah, well, that's awesome. Yeah. So I guess, yeah, like the TTC albums, like, do you usually have a goal or a concept when making pieces or albums at large?
It's actually all I do. I actually don't know how to make music without a concept behind it. So if I don't already have a title or an idea, I have parameters. So it'd be like, today I'm going to use my guitar pedal board. I'm going to make it kind of like a major into minor. I want it to sound solemn. I want, you know, I'm always going to have that concept, and it's going to be about traveling the Canadian prairies, or it's going to be on an album that's going to be about blank. And so if you look at my discography, of which there is a lot, I don't think there's really, you know, there's some compilation singles here and there. Everything I've done, I've always tried to envision, you know, what is the vision? What is the idea? Like, what is the album art going to look like to reflect the feeling, the mood, the experience of this music? And I think that's really interesting. It's actually, I find, helps me create really easily, because if I know what I'm doing, and sometimes it's parameters, it's like every song has to be 5 minutes, every song has to be this tempo, and even if that's my starting point and I don't end with it, starting with something like a concept, I find is very helpful and valuable for me to create.
Yeah, that's a good that's a very good idea. I'm just thinking about what I do. I try and make goals and in concepts I want to do, but lately it's been more like figuring out the sounds that come out from what I play and doing a little bit more experimenting, and then I add the concept after that.
And yeah, I mean, and that makes sense. And I feel like with, you know, with your bass clarinet, it's a little bit more technical of like really figuring that out and making sure that the modes work, the paces work. I feel like, as you could hopefully hear, it's like, it's a little bit free. Like, you could find a tempo if you listen hard, but there's no set tempo. It's very kind of flowy, and I kind of love that. I kind of love that freedom away from, oh, we're going to syncopate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, yeah, you mentioned also you have lots of albums. How many do you officially have, if you know offhand?
Well, I don't know how many I officially have, but I have an ongoing Spotify discography playlist that is very close to 500 tracks.
500.
Oh, over 4 years. And it's almost come like a game, like how many can I release in a year? And I'm not to say that, you know, some of them are junk just to fill that quota. I do feel like sometimes what I do when I compose an album, it's like, I don't overthink a lot of things. And so if you know, things are sounding good after the first passes on synths and guitars, I'll mix it a little bit, and I have the song in an hour or two. I'm not dwelling on it for weeks at a time. I have done that. I have spent, you know, there's a couple albums in my discography where I spent weeks on recording and composing and mixing, and then there's some where, oh, I made that EP in an afternoon. And I think there's a good balance in my discography of all of that.
Right, nice. Yeah, like my first EP was pretty much recorded. It was recorded for a winter solstice radio program, and I recorded that over 4 nights, and it was all done for that broadcast, but then I released it later. And then my recent full-length album was like probably a year in the making. So yeah, just, I think it also depends how and what you want accomplished for your music. Let's see. Why don't we talk about some of the albums that you've released? Actually, well, we're going to focus on two today.
Sure.
The one that I know the most, when around the time that we first connected, was the album How to Unravel. It was released September 2023.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk a little bit about this album?
Yeah, so that one's a really special one. That one, I had the great pleasure of working with the Toronto label We Are Busybodies, who put that out on vinyl, who worked with me to kind of make a big release. And it was something that I had an idea of an album. And for me, it was, let's work with like other humans. Like I had collaborated where I'd sent tracks to people, but I went into the studio of a colleague of mine, Chad Skinner. He has a studio in downtown Toronto in the West End called Half Moon Audio, and he's done some mastering for me. And I connected with him, and like let's rent it out for the afternoon. I brought in my friend Dave, who's an amazing violinist who I played with for more than 10 years in different contexts. And you know, he's great because he is happy to just like start playing, you know, the moment he hears it versus like I need to compose something, which is exactly how I work. And then they have a beautiful piano which I got to noodle around on. I'm not much of a piano player, but it really just sounded like a real piano, as opposed to, you know, the MIDI synth. And then brought in a few other musicians to add some extra layers and kind of play some stuff off the floor. Like I had a bed track, almost like a guitar drone, and we're like, okay, let's do what we can do on top. And then from there, I even, you know, sourced out some saxophones, sourced out some cellos from different people I knew, so that all of a sudden I had a lot more orchestral or a lot more post-rocky and a bigger sound. And I really loved, and that took a lot of time to really get right as I put it together. But once it was together, I was so happy with how it ended.
Was it like the biggest like sound and like grouping of musicians you've had on an album?
Oh, for sure. I mean, other than, you know, sending some often, but yeah, generally I think I'd had 8 or 9 musicians join me on that one. And yeah, and also playing with, you know, real cello sounds and mixing those in, and real violin. And Dave was so great to do 4 or 5 different stems of like take, so I'm playing like with this like mini orchestra sound that really made it sound bigger. And like the interesting part with that too is like I've played with MIDI strings, and with real recorded violin, it sounded like the recording is great, but like it's imperfect. And I was like, no, I've got to use that. And it was really great to use the violin that, you know, it's just the slightest bit off that you're not quantizing. You don't want to quantize it. Mm-hmm. And you have a bit more of a natural sound to it.
Nice. And is there a little, I guess, yeah. What is the concept for this album?
I think How to Unravel for me was this feeling of being stuck in my own head and feeling kind of like anxious and not being able to identify that for so long about that kind of like, and so the first half, I tried to write it as almost like a narrative where the first half is that feeling of heavy being stuck. And then that second, like, so it's a bit, not darker, but a bit more emotionally resonant on the first half. And the second half is very mellow. It's like that coming out of it. It's like the, you know, you unravel and then you get raveled back up again. And so the last song on it actually connects to my newest album, because there's a field recording on that last song of a summer night a couple years ago I took of just some crickets chirping and all that. And I used that on the last song, which is really kind of optimistic. It had some nice saxophone and strings kind of into, you know, fading out with this sound from that sound recording of, I think, my kids running around in the faint. If you really listen close to the very end of that, of How to Unravel, you can hear them laughing in the background. And I think it was just like such a perfect way to end that album. And so it's kind of like this, you know, crescendo that comes down and back up again as an album. And kind of, I wanted to play as an album as a whole rather than individual tracks.
Nice. Hey, awesome. Yeah, like it really, well, it stuck with me certainly.
Thank you.
With that, what? And then now you've gave me a CD, and hopefully people can see in my little screen here the newest album, which I looked up at Dusk Hour the Crickets, right?
That's right, yeah.
And why don't you tell us a little bit about this new album?
So, I mean, the first thing to know is that if it sounds vaguely familiar in a Guelph context, it's because I ripped the name off of Guelph band Royal City, who I was telling Nicholas before, when I was 16, I heard that album At Rush Hour the Cars by them, and I was just like, it was like all of a sudden, it's like, this is the album for me. And so, this deep meaning. So when I put this album together, I was putting in, you know, thinking of titles and whatnot, and I just said like, oh, At Dusk Hour the Cricket. I'm like, no, that works. And it has this really subtle reference. But anyways, this album is something that I, again, big concept, new idea. I had about a 40-minute recording. I left a field recorder on top of my car out on a beautiful sunny night, or summer night. And so in the background, you hear crickets. In the background, you hear wind. Halfway through, you hear a train. And I and you can hear my kids, you can hear my friends, we're all there, and you hear it in the background, and it kind of it plays right through. So there's 13 tracks, and rather than split the recording and then have like separate tracks, it all plays through with gapless playback. And one of the things I did in it is I actually recorded to the track rather than, you know, making tracks and adding them later. So at times it really intentionally flows and coordinates with what's happening in the field recording, the synths, and I kept it really minimal. It's almost, I think there's like 14 different tracks across all 13, and I've reused certain kind of presets with like usually no more than 3 or 4. Like, so it's not an overwhelming amount of sound. It's actually quite sparse. And that was kind of fun for me to do. So different than like me with my guitar drone, because a guitar wasn't even on that record.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Well, it's also great to have the Guelph reference here for that. Where can people find this album?
So that album is available on CD, put out by an amazing Toronto label called Polar Seas Recordings, which is the label of an amazing Toronto ambient artist named Anthen. You can get that on Bandcamp. You can find the music right now on any streaming service. And that one just came out last Friday, so I'm really happy it's out in the world.
Awesome. Yeah, now I'll definitely get a chance. Make sure I get a chance to listen to this album.
Awesome.
Yeah, thank you for the CD. Why don't I let you do your last improv session now?
Yep.
So here is Kilometer Club on the Sentinel's Marvelous Kaleidoscope on CFRU 93.3 FM. That was Kilometer Club here on CFRU 93.3 FM. I was like unexpected with the, I think it's like the tape effect, right? That
yeah,
it's get really wonky.
Yeah, you know what? I figured, you know, make something like short and weird, and just ended up with like being like a, just warping, playing with one of the knobs and letting it go a little nuts.
Nice. And my title for that would be Unheard Of. That is unheard of.
Perfect.
We have a little bit of time. I want to have us talk just a little bit about your own album label. Sorry, the label, Imaginary North. Why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Yeah, so a couple of years ago now, just under 2 years ago, I started up an ambient label called Imaginary North. And part of the idea was that I was seeing some really unfortunate success as far as making music, getting it on Spotify, getting some streams in that world. And I was like, it's awesome. I'm so glad that I've done it. But like, I want to help others too. And I also want to bring people together. So, it started with a label and doing some concept, high concept albums, some compilations, bringing in people, putting out my friends' music, but then trying to build it even more. So last summer, we put out a 24-hour long compilation of long-form ambient with all money going to Music Declares Emergency. So like, it was called Today Until Tomorrow, that idea of kind of looking ahead through the lens of ambient electronic experimental music. We put out a whole bunch of different albums by artists I love, and it's been really great. And then more recently, as of about 10 months ago, we started putting on concerts in Toronto, getting an opportunity to have places for live ambient, including most recently with yourself involved in what was called Dream Concerts, which were in an art gallery, mattresses on the floor, getting to listen to some immersive ambient music with visuals on the wall, and not just staring at the artist the whole time, staring at the wall, closing your eyes, taking in, that potential of what ambient music can be. And that was really, really cool.
Well, yeah, it definitely was. That was like one of the biggest imaginative productions I've been part of. So I thank you for that. And if people can see my little camera, this is the logo for Imaginary North. Definitely check it out, everyone. So we are almost done. I just want to ask, any performances coming up or big plans?
Always lots of plans. I keep joking about how for my 40th birthday in September, I'm going to have a 100-song album because, the amount that I put out, anything less than that wouldn't be enough. So I'm working on that. It's actually really hard because that's a lot of songs. And I am playing next month, I believe, on April 13th at place called Toronto Style in Toronto, in West End Toronto, which I believe apparently has really good chicken wings. Doing an experimental set with another artist named Moon Watcher as part of a release of a cassette that we're putting out on Imaginary North with another kind of Toronto group called Mainstream. We're putting out that tape, and that's the release party.
Nice. That will be very exciting. How can people find and support your music?
Easy to find on Kilometer Club, as long as you spell it the British way. So that's R-E, not E-R. I have a website and a Bandcamp. I am easily flattered. So just, follow me on Instagram, same name. Say hi.